Step 1. Their worldview and frames got there before you did. We all want the same things. We all want to be safe, healthy, successful, loved, respected, happy, and fit. We all want to have enough money to buy whatever we want. We all want friends and fun and a clean world to enjoy them in. But if we all want the same thing, why do we take so many opposite tacks to get there? Why doesn't everyone drive a Honda or run their factory using the same techniques? Why don't we all practice the same religion and wear the same clothes? Why is the average price paid for a wedding dress $799, with some women paying 10 or 20 times that and others borrowing one for free? The great failure of marketing theory is its inability to explain variety. No marketer can tell you in advance if an advertisement is going to work or if a new product is going to be successful. As a result, the whole thing feels like a crapshoot. The explanation for this variety lies in the worldview all consumers carry around. It turns out that we don't all want the same things. Each person has a different set of biases and values and assumptions, and those worldviews are influenced by their parents, their schools, the places they live, and the experiences they've had to date. Their worldview is the lens they use to determine whether or not they're going to believe a story. As the great Red Maxwell said, lenses distort things. The lens your consumers use shows them a different version of reality than it shows you or your colleagues or your other customers. Two definitions and a strategy. Worldview is the term I use to refer to the rules, values, beliefs, and biases that an individual consumer brings to a situation. If Jason got completely screwed the last time he bought a car from a used car salesman, the worldview he has when visiting a dealership 4 years later is a little different than that of someone who is buying her third car in 4 years from the very same place. If Rebecca sees her job as purchasing agent for a big company as one where she should avoid risks, she'll view that new salesperson in her office very differently than if her understanding of her new job is that she should cut costs by innovating and trying new alternatives. Different people, different worldviews. People can see the same data and make a totally different decision. Frames are elements of a story painted to leverage the worldview a consumer already has. George Lakoff popularized this term in his writing about political discourse, but it applies to anything that's marketed to anyone. Krispy Kreme did it with the phrase hot donuts. Hot means fresh and sensual and decadent. Pile that onto the way some of us feel about donuts, and they had tapped into an existing worldview. Donuts equals sensual equals hot equals love. It wouldn't work on everyone, but until people changed their worldview, donuts equals carbs equals get fat, they did great. Today, Krispy Kreme is losing money, shutting stores, and facing government inquiries, all because of a change in worldview. A frame, in other words, is a way you hang a story onto a consumer's existing worldview. When a furniture store runs a going-out-of-business sale with banners on every street corner, they're not talking about the furniture. They are framing the story for people who need an excuse to get their cheap spouse to finally get up and go with them to shop for furniture. This frame works on some people, but not on the folks who drive 200 miles to an antique fair or redecorate whenever Martha tells them to. Different worldviews, different frames. Don't try to change someone's worldview is the strategy smart marketers follow. Don't try to use facts to prove your case and to insist that people change their biases. You don't have enough time and you don't have enough money. Instead, identify a population with a certain worldview, frame your story in terms of that worldview, and you win. All squirrels want nuts. If you want to attract some squirrels, put out some acorns. It's a safe bet. Nuts are something that squirrels need, the way people need water and food. But once we start talking about more sophisticated products, things that people want instead of need, the discussion gets complicated. Even extremely poor consumers in the developing world will prioritize their purchases to get what they want, often ignoring the opportunity to get what they need. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking of your market as a cohesive audience, of thinking of a market as a large group of similar people. But there is no monolith of want. Everyone doesn't want a slightly better dishwasher or a faster plane ride, not enough to pay extra for it anyway. We don't all want dark chocolate or a big house in the suburbs. As the number of choices facing consumers increases and the diversity of education, backgrounds, and desires increases as well, it's awfully dangerous to assume that consumers are all the same. It's even dangerous to assume that they're all rational. They say there's no accounting for taste. But of course there is. Taste is another word for a person's worldview. In the 2004 presidential election, 290 million people all had access to the same data. We all had the same look at the same two candidates. Yet about half of us was sure that one guy was better and the other half disagreed. Can 145 million people be wrong? I don't think so. Instead, I believe that there are dozens or even hundreds of worldviews among voters. These views were entrenched long before the campaigning even started. A vote, after all, is a statement about the voter, not the candidate. Worldviews are the reason that two intelligent people can look at the same data and walk away with completely different conclusions. It's not that they didn't have access to the data or that they have poor reasoning skills. It's simply that they had already put themselves into a particular worldview before you even asked the question. Marketing succeeds when enough people with similar worldviews come together in a way that allows marketers to reach them cost-effectively. But what about changing a worldview? What about creating wholesale changes in the marketplace? Sometimes a marketer is particularly fortunate and skillful, and she actually causes a big chunk of the marketplace to change its worldview. Steve Jobs did this with the Macintosh and then with the iPod. Sean Fanning, founder of Napster, taught an entire generation of kids to believe that music is supposed to be free. It's interesting to note that while changing a worldview is fairly glamorous work, it doesn't often lead to a lot of profit. Marketers don't hesitate to run different ads for men and women, for the rich and the poor, for those that travel and those that don't. The mistake